Thank you, Brother Aaron, for that special. It's time that we might take some time to hear our brother speak to us this evening. I know he's got notes and he's making more notes. So I pray that you give him your kindly attention and allow the Spirit to lead and direct your hearts. And as he presents those things that God has given to him to give to us this evening, I'll give you my neighbor and my fellow brother, servant in the Lord, Jimmy H. Sr.
I'm going to start off this evening reading from the 2 Corinthians, 13th chapter, first verse. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And as I looked at some of my books and checked some of the other scriptures, I found four other places with scriptures that say about the same thing. And to me, that's saying that if I find that many scriptures in there repeating the same thing, it must be true. But I'd like to go to two other scriptures. Tell me that the scriptures that are inspired and brought to us are true. I'm going to read first in 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, 16th verse. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for a doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Also, we can go to 2 Peter, 1st chapter, 21st verse. 2 Peter, 1st chapter, 21st verse. It's going to tell us almost the same thing. For the prophecy came not by old time, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These last two scriptures tell me that these scriptures are true because they didn't come from just any old witness. They came from God to men whom he called and set aside to bring these scriptures forth. I'd like to go to Isaiah now, 5th chapter, 20th verse. Isaiah 5th chapter, 20th verse. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, and put darkness for light, and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. And if we go over into 2 Nephi, on a page 122, 8th chapter, the 90th verse, you're going to find them there quoting Isaiah. They quote this same scripture once again. Woe unto them that call good or evil good and good evil. We're living in that time. We see it every day. Our nation definitely fills the bill. And it makes you wonder if they ever read the scriptures. Or if they did read them, what Bible did they use? They could have been using some of these new Bibles where so much is left out, even chapters, so that they couldn't get the truth if they wanted it. And I say if they wanted it, I don't think that a lot of them do. They prefer it just like this. They like to call good evil and evil good. There is a section or a part of our country that is called the Bible Belt. And we find in the past few years that their thinking has changed. And they don't complain about things that they used to. And when they do complain, they go against the truth, against the scriptures. And a good example of it is, I recall a few years ago, a Billy Graham's son made a statement, and I couldn't find the scripture I wanted in here, and I'm sure that you will know and understand the scripture I'm talking about, if I could find it, about Israel. And he said, we must stand by Israel. Now, as I recall, as the scripture says that if we don't stand by Israel, we got a problem in the future. And there's also is a well-known TV preacher called Jerry Falwell. He made a statement talking about the homosexuals. And it wasn't very long between the time that Billy Graham's son made his statement and Jerry Falwell made his, that there was a big hue and cry. Oh, they fussed and fumed and everything else. And then the media got a hold of it and blew it way out of proportion. And they had to go on national TV and try to explain how they'd made a mistake and tell them the truth. The people throughout this Bible Belt and the nation as a whole have voted for things in the past few years that not too long ago they wouldn't even have considered. They put gays, transsexuals, into Congress to pass and make laws for you and I and the nation to live by. And this past election time, the state of Arizona put an atheist in the Senate. And they're supposed to give her the oath the other day. And she wouldn't put her hand on the Bible. She's going to be making laws or voting for laws that we got nothing to do with, but they're going to put them on us whether we like it or not. There are now 8 states and Washington, D.C. that have okayed and said it's all right for same-sex marriage. That's pretty bad news, isn't it? But it doesn't stop there. That guy that lives there in that White House in Washington, D.C., came out and said that same-sex marriage is all right. And so, being the top official in the United States, I guess that it must be all right. He wouldn't lie to us. Not much he wouldn't. And then, prior to that, this same official said that we were not a Christian nation. So I guess that we can forget the laws of God and just take anything that comes down the road. And, you know, that it's all right for them to have a get-together and a Muslim prayer in the grounds of the White House, but it's not for Christians. We can't have a prayer meeting there. You know, when I first heard that same-sex thing, I thought, how stupid can he be? He has access to the same information that we do. And if he ever read that book, how could he make such a statement if he ever read the first chapter of Romans? But when you look at the way that times have changed, things have changed. Words that once meant something don't mean that anymore. They mean something else. And a good example is the word gay at one time meant cheerful, lively, merry, brilliantly covered. But now it means homosexual. And I wonder why they can't just use the word homosexual to be exactly what it is, and gay can still be merry and happy and enjoy. You know, our founding fathers didn't see it that way. They were Christian. And when Washington, D.C. was built, it was built in the shape of a huge cross, the main drags that go through town. And the founding fathers also saw fit to engrave in the stone in many of the government buildings and monuments verses from the Bible all over town. And as you sit in the courtroom of the Supreme Court, you can see on the wall right above the judges displayed the Ten Commandments. With this reminder right behind them on the wall, how is it that they can make so many bum decisions concerning our nation and the laws that we are governed by? James Madison, our fourth president, was known as the father of our Constitution, made the following statement: "We have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." We've slipped away somewhere, haven't we? How well do you remember your early American history? Do you remember a patriot and a founding father by the name of Patrick Henry? Any of you? You remember what he was famous for saying? No? Give me liberty or give me death. But he also said something else that you don't hear of very often. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our founding fathers knew and understood. The very first Supreme Court Chief Justice, John Jay, said this: "Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers." Have we done that? I don't think so. You wonder how then that we have gotten to the point that everything that we have done for 220 years is now suddenly wrong and unconstitutional. Seems that we've stubbed our toe somewhere along the line. You take California, for instance. They have passed laws, state laws, that are not okay with the law of God. In California, it is now a state law that all K through 12 school children must be taught to appreciate various sexual orientations. Public schools, teachers, and counselors must identify children with the potential to be intolerant of homosexuality and refer them to counseling and retraining. Yes, we stubbed our toe someplace. I'd like to read in Ether, first chapter. I'm going to go to the 30th to the 35th verse. No, I think I'll go from the 29th to the 35th. Start on page, that'd be on page 17, 717, 29th verse, to the 35th. And the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but they should come forth even unto the land of promise, which was choice above all other lands. And the Lord God preserved it for a righteous people at this land that we live on. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared that whosoever should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him. The true and only God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath come upon them. And now we shall behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or else they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they have ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all of the lands. Therefore he doth possess it. He that doth possess it shall serve God, or else they shall be swept off. For it is an everlasting decree of God. And it is not until the fullness of the iniquity among the children of the land that they be swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may be made, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent, and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that they may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you. And the inhabitants of the which are the, as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity from all other nations under heaven, if they but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath manifested these things which we have written. Just how close are we getting to that wrath of God? Seems like it gets a little worser every time you see the news or read the newspaper. A few months back, I was reading a book up the ranch, and it was entitled 101 of the Greatest Books in the World. 101. Would you like to make a guess what one of them might be? Bible? Well, I would think so, but you'd be wrong. It's not in that 101 books. The Bible was not on the list. Who made this list? Who looked through all the books and decided that this is going to be the one, the 101 of the best books in the world? I would say that the adversary was looking over his shoulder and whispering in his ear. But I guess, according to that, the way society thinks today, it must be all right, because they did include one book titled The Life of Jesus. And it was a pretty good-sized book, 9 pages long. All the 100 books, the garbage books, were over 1,000 pages. I think we're about ready to get the rug from jerked out underneath us. More than any other time in history, we need to be standing on the rock and paying attention to the laws of God and following His commandments. Sad to say, I don't think this nation or the world is paying too much attention. A good example of this we find in 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 9th verse. It's just one short verse. 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 9th verse. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. We saw some good examples of this in our reunion this year. I talked to one of the young ladies' father after the service. And I said, I need to talk to you, but I don't want you to get mad at me. He said, I won't get mad at you. I said, I hope not. And so I talked to him about his daughter's apparel. When the conversation was through, he looked me right in the eye. He says, thank you. The next day, her apparel was different. And there were other young ladies that I thought was appropriately dressed too. And I spoke to one, and she gave me a look like I didn't know what I was talking about. I would far rather see them wearing slacks than what they were wearing. But I guess according to society, it's okay. It's a trend. But it's not okay according to the law of God. Our people need to know that what society thinks is good should not affect us in any way. If we continue to listen to what society thinks and follow the trend, that is being set. We will never be able to hold on to that rod of iron and stay on that straight and narrow path. I'd like to close by reading a prayer. A prayer for our nation given by Billy Graham. Now, I don't agree with him on a lot of his ideas of the rapture and all, once saved, always saved, and on and on. But with this prayer, he pretty well hit the nail on the head. Do you remember a commentator on the radio years ago by the name of Paul Harvey? And he used to start off his program with someplace in there with a story. And then he'd stop. And he'd go on with the rest of his program. Then he'd say at the tail end of it, "And now for the rest of the story." This prayer of Billy Graham's that I'm going to read, he had access to. I don't know whether he read it or whether Billy read it over his program. And he said the response to that program was larger than any ever of all of his years on the radio. And so, with the Lord's help, maybe this prayer will be our desire that we once again can be called one nation under God. Billy Graham's prayer for their nation. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask for your forgiveness and to seek direction and guidance. We know your word says, "Woe unto those who call good evil," or evil good, excuse me. But it is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have exploited the poor and called it lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it a choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and call it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and for pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Amen. Thank you for your time.